Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Where I'm sometimes up, sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. But still I know I'm heaven bound, coming for to carry. Sing this with me. Well now, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry, carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, the brightest day that I can say, coming for to carry me home, is when Jesus washed all my sins away. Coming for to care, here's your turn. Well, now, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, now, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home, you tell all my friends I'm coming too. Amen? Coming for to carry. One more time. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry. I said swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Amen. I'm going to sing a song from a group called Mercy Me. Has anyone ever heard of that group, Mercy Me? Yeah, they did a lot of great Christian music. This one I love because in our lives, we're surrounded by noise all the time. When we're driving in the car, we have the radio on, we have the cell phone on, we're talking on the phone all the time. We never just take a moment to be quiet. Usually our day is filled with constant noise. Usually we can't even sleep without noise on. We're so used to it, right? So this song is kind of about not having that. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. Last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak, to pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet I hear your voice. Word of God, speak, to pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. Be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God speak, yeah, pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Karen Woodson, your Deacon of the Month. I'm pleased to read this morning's scripture, taken from 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26. For I have received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." May God grant us understanding of this, his holy word.
Good morning. Let me do that like I would normally do it. Praise God. Praise God. So awesome to be in this place, in the house of God. I'm so grateful for the opportunity and for the worship that we've had together. I know that God is in this place, and I'm so grateful for the song that you chose. It is one of my favorites. Seems like it's not many other people's favorites, but you're working on them. thank you so much for your hospitality and for the reading of the word of God. Paul almost didn't found the church at Corinth. After testifying to the Jewish people that Jesus was Christ and hearing their blasphemous opposition, he shook his clothing and said to them, "From now on, I'll go into the Gentiles." He was set to leave Corinth when he entered the house of Titus Justus, which is just next door to the synagogue. The Acts of the Apostles records that Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord and all of his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then the Lord spoke to Paul at night in a vision to speak boldly and to not hold his peace, because there were many people in the city that belonged to God. Partly due to the words spoken by the Lord into the winter weather that closed up the mountain passes and sea lanes, Paul would remain there for the next 18 months. Thus, it was a difficult, if not almost impossible, beginning for this Corinthian church, save a word from the Lord. Still, the letters to the church at Corinth are among the most valuable sources of information about the growth of the church in the first century, both numerically and spiritually. Corinth was said to be at once Paul's pride and despair. Though faith flourished in Corinth, so did sin. And Corinth came to symbolize wealth, high living, nightlife, and immorality. Corinth was a multicultural society called the Light of Greece by Cicero. The poor flocked to it and with their skills made the city a manufacturing and commercial center. It was also called the City of Love, with 1,000 priestesses to Aphrodite or Venus. But no matter what is said of Corinth, it should be seen as a city with the common problems of any city adjacent to two seaports. One of several epistles written to the church at Corinth, this first correspondence focused primarily on correction, as there were claims of immorality, increased carnality, and as a result, deepening divisions among the members. And it is in the process of this rebuke and correction of the Corinthian Christians that Apostle Paul shares with us the order, meaning, and purpose of the Lord's Supper. He reminds them that this is not just any meal. This occasion serves not to satisfy hunger or to quench thirst, as they could meet those needs at home. The bread is not for a physical filling, and the wine is not for intoxication. It is a warning to not remember the Lord with irreverent familiarity or disrespectful awareness. This is not just any table, but it is the Lord's table. And this is not just any meal, but it is the Lord's Supper. It's a spiritual meal. It's a love feast. Today is Communion Sunday. It's a special day in the Christian life set aside to reenact the Lord's death through a feast comprised of only bread and wine. Like the church at Corinth, if we are not reminded of his story, the prophetic prediction of his death through these two simple elements might be reduced to just another occasion for fellowship and a free, though meager, meal. Though marked on calendars and celebrated around the world, it is not a holiday. Instead, Christ ensures that we continue in his way of reversing the order of importance, as in making the first last, appointing children as the greatest in the kingdom of God, using the weak to conquer the strong and the simple to confound the wise. In like manner, his death is to be remembered, not his life, as it is not the beginning, not the end, but the beginning of his ministry to us. In our taking of the Lord's Supper, eating what gives our flesh life, we do proclaim the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until he returns. And even in death, Jesus remains the bread of life and the living water. His death is his life, and his life is his death. His death is the message, and it is so central to his life and ministry that he asked to be remembered by it. Jesus did not ask that persons establish foundations in his name, erect monuments, or even create a national holiday to celebrate his life. Instead, he asked that persons sit together around a table, break bread, and share a cup to remind them of his death. What you and I must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of Jesus. And it is his last supper, his last meal before the crucifixion, a Roman execution. Jesus, who multiplied fish and loaves to feed thousands of people, did not produce for himself filet mignon, lobster, or some exotic delicacy. He did not throw a party and invite the crowds that had followed him for a final night of frivolity. There were no toasts or grand speeches, no dancing into the wee hours of the morning. He had no bucket list to fulfill. No, he just wanted to be remembered. Not for who he had become, but for the great display of love shown in the laying down of his life for us, his friends. It was so important that the same night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Just as he did with us, Jesus took the bread, which was common, and sanctified it. He made it holy. The bread is broken, as was his body, as were the chains that held us captive, as were the generational curses that tyrannized our lives. Bread becomes a symbol of Jesus' body on the cross. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." He now drinks the cup, though he will later pray in the Garden of Gethsemane for a cup to pass from him. In drinking the cup, we do die to self and its old nature. His death now lives in us. The wine, a common beverage, drank daily as much of the water was polluted during the time of Jesus, the juice of crushed grapes, becomes a symbol of his blood shed for us. It becomes a sign of his new covenant with us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he comes. It is not a meal, but a message, the story of his suffering and death for us. And it is to be a proclamation, not a lament. He wants his death to be shared with others, for in dying with Christ, we live. It is a part of God's salvific plan and must not be left out. This is what he wants us to do until he returns. And asking to be remembered by it, Jesus is saying to us, my death is good news and should not serve as an excuse for defeatist living or practicing a faith riddled with compromise. My death is not to be apologized for or avenged. No one took my life from me, but I laid it down. I laid it down for my friends. I didn't die young. I didn't leave the earth too soon. It was my time to die because it was your time to live. But why did Jesus tell them to remember him? Did he worry that he might be forgotten, replaced by the next charismatic leader of the day? Was he concerned that the gospel might be reduced to mere gossip after his death? No. Jesus knew that the gospel would spread, but wanted to ensure that the focus not be lost and put the spotlight on the cross. Jesus said, do this to remember me, because it matters why he is remembered. He wanted to be remembered for why he died, not how he lived. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and only in death could he fulfill this purpose. It matters what is remembered about him. Jesus didn't want to be remembered by his teachings, for the miracles he performed or the crowds that gathered. He didn't want to be remembered because of his miraculous birth or even his identity as the Son of God. He wanted to be remembered by his death on the cross. It also matters how he is remembered. Paul reminds us through this letter to the church at Corinth that table manners are needed when taking the Lord's Supper, as the bread represents his body broken for us and should not be handled with unthoughtfulness or carelessness, while the wine represents his blood shed for us and is not to simply be consumed, but his death for us should be confessed through it. In Christ's brokenness, we are made whole. And in the shedding of his precious blood, we are given life and life more abundantly. Some would say that it is an unfair exchange, but for the love of God, which is without limit or restriction, who so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, to death. St. Augustine said of communion, recognize in this bread what hung on the cross, and in this chalice what flowed from his side. Whatever was in many and varied ways announced beforehand in the sacrifices of the Old Testament pertains to this one sacrifice, which was revealed in the New Testament. Jesus is saying to us today, remember me in you as you take my body. Remember me in you as you partake of my blood. Remember me this way. St. Francis de Sales offers these final words of reflection. When you have received him, stir up in your heart to do homage to him. Speak to him about your spiritual life, gazing upon him in your soul where he is present for your happiness. Welcome him as warmly as possible and behave outwardly in such a way that your actions may give proof to all of his presence. Amen. Now on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he and his disciples gathered in the upper room where Jesus prepared his last meal, what has become known as the Last Supper. I ask now that you prepare your hearts and minds to receive the Lord's Supper. Please examine yourselves so that you do not eat or drink unworthily.
If you do not know Jesus, the pardon of your Yes.